Welcome to the Male Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. This is the 31st episode in the Co-Pilot series, where we can chat about making the plant-based lifestyle more doable, especially while, you know, facing roadblocks and challenges and still transitioning. And tonight I'm super excited for our guest. He's an omnivore, and I love having omnivores on. People think that's crazy. Woo, you're plant-based. But you can be plant-based, you know, part of the time. Every meal counts, and you can still feel amazing. And it's a long, long transition for a lot of people. Some people never make it 100%, so I'm always happy to get people on their way or, you know, maybe at a different exit. And that's what tonight's all about. And our guest is from a small town, so if you've ever lived in a small town or you feel like you could never be even a little bit plant-based in a small town, you'll feel super inspired. And just, we're gonna talk about so much. It's gonna be fun. So, Mike, welcome. Thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. So basically, why don't you just give us a quick little background about yourself so we can be familiar with you, and we'll dive in.
I grew up in a small town in the Bay Area, which, I mean, you're close to everything, so it's kind of helpful, but it was nice and quiet. Nobody in my family is vegan or plant-based. They all think it's crazy.
That's to a lot of our relatives, yeah.
Let's see. I have two kids. I'm separated.
But you found the plant-based lifestyle through your current girlfriend, right?
Well, we both actually watched Forks Over Knives, and
then
we really got interested in it. And then I was plant-based for probably about 6 months, 7 months.
Oh, it's like 100%?
No. I mean, almost. Almost. It was. I mean, I was trying my hardest.
Right.
At the time, I think it was the best I've ever done.
That's good. So one thing I really liked when we were talking earlier was that by email is that you told me that, you know, normal dinners when you were growing up were things like mashed potatoes and cream corn with meat. And I think that's how a lot of people grow up. I think that's sort of what that was my childhood is, you know, dinner was like this big plate of meat with some vegetables on the side, which were almost always covered in, you know, cream or butter or something. And I know you said that, you know, your breakfast was sugary cereal. That was the same. And my mom, to her credit, she thought she was doing right by me. She thought she was feeding me good food because, you know, these boxes would say things like, you know, it's multigrain for growing kids. And, you know, she believed the whole, oh, my kids have to have milk for strong bones. And that was kind of your childhood, too.
Yeah, and my mom and dad still believe that it's okay to eat that stuff.
Yeah, and like you were saying to me that, you know, you always packed yourself like a ham and cheese sandwich on Wonder Bread with like Twinkies and Ho-Hos and a bag of chips and some chocolate chip cookies. You like totally described my lunch growing up.
Oh, I love the Wonder Bread store. It was the best place. It was 10 pies for, what, $10 or something like that?
Oh my God, yeah. So... Yeah, I remember, like, I would buy boxes of, like, Little Debbie's and, like, section one off every day. And I was like, what a deal!
Yep.
And then I wondered why my health was failing.
Yeah, my mom still tries to feed my kids that stuff now. And I have to actually say something like, that's not really healthy, Mom. That's actually a treat.
Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of people struggle with is that they're trying to indoctrinate and explain to the children, like, we're going to eat mostly vegetables, you know, like you said, it's a treat to have a Twinkie once in a while, and then the grandparents come and they're taking them to McDonald's, and they're, when grandma visits, she brings all this junk food, and it's like, wait, no, this is not for Tuesday.
Right.
And so, so how do you communicate that? Like, what do you say? Like, this is a special occasion thing, or?
It depends. I guess sometimes we go on family trips, like we just had a family trip camping, and you know, I kind of let the kids eat what they wanted. I mean, it wasn't the best thing, but typically it was a vacation.
Yeah, and camping was sort of like what sort of sent you. You were doing plant based predominantly, and then you went camping, and that was kind of like what stopped the plant based. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
So, like, what happened?
Well, you know, the kids were eating all the junk food and the chips, and I would eat it there too. My girlfriend was actually really good the whole entire camping trip. I helped her make her own food. I ate some of the food. And then the downward spiral after that was we stopped by, she got sick of it and wanted a pizza. And then after that, it was just, it was like, well, we need to get back on. We need to get back on. We need to get back on. And then we just, it just, it was a slow, gradual descent.
Yeah.
After that.
The ah, screw it, I always call it the ah, screw it moment. Like, ah, screw it. And I think a lot of people go through it, and I appreciate that honesty. And it was something that I definitely struggled with, and my husband struggled with too. And I mean, I always talk about how I just like kept gaining the same 10 pounds back because I'd be like, ah, screw it. And I would go eat like a pint of Coconut Bliss ice cream. And then it was like, I didn't make good choices. I would always say like, okay, on Monday, or, well, maybe after the weekend, or, well, maybe at the first of next month. Like, I just kept like waiting to sort of stop. And so I always tell people next meal, like do it the next meal. Don't plan to do it. Cause it is hard. And there is a lot of temptation around.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just saying, I mean, for me, it's a lot harder because my weight doesn't fluctuate as nearly as bad as other people's. I mean, I could really lose the weight if I want to. I don't know, my metabolism's that way, I guess. I don't know. I've never stressed about my weight. I never cared about it.
You guys, you have it so easy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I know. My husband's the same way. I mean, my husband did, actually. He lost a lot of weight, but he, even then, like, the way he was eating, he should have been so much heavier than he was. I mean, he lost 60 pounds, so it's not nothing, but the way he ate, oh my God, like he went to Chick-fil-A in the morning and got like 3 Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and then lunch was like, you know, Big Macs and French fries, and then dinner was like hot wings and more dairy, and then he would drink like Red Bull and vodka. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm amazed that your insides didn't like say bye-bye and leave, but
I mean, I would go do my track and field after high school and then go to Nations and eat a hamburger and fries and everything, and then an hour later go home and eat my regular dinner.
Oh my God.
And I was always under 200 pounds. I think in my life I've only hit over 200 maybe once.
Wow. So how do you incorporate the meal plans into your life? And I know too that your kids aren't always with you. So how does that all work? Like tell us how you're working it out.
My kids are with me half the time. And so my girlfriend really wanted to get on board finally. I mean, she stayed about a year and a half ago, she got back on and just went vegan, which was not really healthy vegan, but at least she was vegan.
Hey, you know, that's a step. That's a comment. That was my first step, so.
Right, and then probably in the last couple of months, she really went plant-based. And, I mean, beforehand, I was helping try to keep temptation out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wouldn't bring anything home that I knew she really wanted and eat it in front of her. I would just eat it at work.
That's so nice of you. A lot of partners are not that kind, so you're wonderful.
Well, thanks. But the meal plans, I mean, I like them actually cooking with them too. They're pretty easy, actually, once you get the hang of the stuff. And that's our dinners usually, and we try to do a little bit more so we could each take lunches the next day.
Yeah, that's our strategy too, is I always either do one of the add-ons or I pick like a bigger serving when, well, it's just the two of us, so the family plan's always a bigger serving. So we have food the next day and I don't have to think about it, because in the morning I don't want to pack a lunch. I just want to take leftovers and make it easy on myself.
Right. Oh, I have a microwave at work, so that really helps.
Oh, that's nice.
And the kids, it depends on the meal, actually. I mean, they could like... It depends on how we treat it when they come back from their moms.
Mm-hmm.
If we attack it as in, okay, we'll kind of give them something they really like the first few days to kind of adjust their taste again. Sometimes it works and a lot of times it don't. Sometimes they just don't want to eat it.
Yeah. And I mean, meat and dairy, they have such, you know, powerful tastes. and they can be very addictive, and not just in terms of like physically, but the mouthfeel. And so I imagine just like constantly going back and forth, you just never get a chance to have that sort of adjustment period.
Yeah.
You know, probably by the time they're just starting to like warm up to adjusting, they're back with mom.
Well, I mean, like I said, we just came back from camping, you know, and I kind of ate with my parents, you know, steak mm-hmm. and chicken and pizza and whatever else. And then we came home and started the meal plans again. And even I was like, yeah, I'm going to go back out and have a hamburger because this is not doing it right now.
Yeah, and that was something that I happened, and even eating just like vegan junk food, it's the same way. Like I've had a number of times where like chips became my nemesis. Like I would eat chips and then, oh, well, a meal just wasn't right without chips. And then, oh, let's go back out for chips. And I mean, it's powerful, man. Mm-hmm. Food can be super powerful, both in like the taste and the mouthfeel and the mind and then physically. And some of that stuff is just, you're weak. You're just weak to it because it's like this perfect trifecta of like fat and salt and sugar. And it's like, nah, let me hit every sensory I can.
Well, you know, I do pretty good with, I like to say I do pretty good with dairy. You know, I don't eat the cheeses a lot. Every once in a great while. I'm not a real big cheese person unless I try to remove one of the other vices out of my diet. And then I suddenly love cheese. I find myself doing that where I never eat cheese a lot. I could eat a little bit here, a little bit there. But if I try to take the meat out of my diet, the next thing you know, I'm eating a block of cheese.
So it's your new crutch. It's your compensation.
My compensation? How do you mean? Which foods? Or
no, I'm saying for the meat because, you know, I'm not having the meat to lean on, so I'm going to just compensate with this cheese.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, oh, okay. No, that's totally normal, and I've heard this 100 times, and I think everyone that's listening probably will be able to relate to that in some way. But yet, despite all this, you feel the difference between the two kinds of eating styles.
Yes, and we've gotten books from Dr. Elsa Steen. I've met Rip once. And gone to some of his stuff, and I like a lot of that stuff I know, and then I know what's, I guess you would say, I know what's bad for me and everything, but I still continue to eat it.
Yeah. And so what do you think the big hurdle is for you?
I'm just not ready right this second. There's, you know, I mean, I probably have a million excuses, but really, honestly, I'm not ready right this second.
Yeah, but it's awesome that you're honest. You're like, not yet, not ready. That's, I love it. I love the honesty. But it is a progress, and it's a process, and it's a journey, and, you know, it was a hard one. That's one thing that I always try to tell people is it is hard, and especially when you are living in a way that, like you, where your family is completely not on board. They're probably never going to be on board, and it's so foreign, and you don't have a support system. I mean, it's wonderful that your girlfriend is on board with you, but a lot of people don't even have that. They don't even have a partner. And that's one of the things I love about the male mentor community is that you have those friends, but it is hard and it's different. And being different is not always easy, but it is worth it. So just keep working at it. And I mean, it's been so fun. I love people who are super honest, but is there anything else, like any thoughts or even suggestions for someone who wants to even get started a little bit that like they're hearing you talk and thinking you've already made great strides?
Let's see. Just start with one thing. Definitely just, you know, whatever is, I guess you would, I don't know if I would say your hardest, but maybe one of the middles, because anybody can give up to one of their, you know.
The easies, yeah.
The easiest, yeah. But sometimes the easiest is easy to start with, but.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. Don't do the hardest, don't do the easiest. Start with something in the middle. That's a good. And that's one thing I like to tell people is when you don't know or you're really like, I don't know what to do, to just pick one rule and go with it. I mean, and it doesn't have to be like, I'm not going to eat meat. It doesn't have to be a big sweeping one. It could be as simple as I don't eat chicken or I don't eat cheese or you know, I don't eat french fries. You know, that it can be that one. It's always a good, which are technically vegan, but not necessarily healthy. But once you do, you just, you have that rule and you just kind of get used to it. And then eventually it's, you incorporate it. It's part of your life. You don't even have to use willpower.
Right, and then like you said, make a rule. That was definitely something at the beginning that I struggled with. Is I felt more like I couldn't have it because I said, I wasn't trying to eat it. It wasn't one of my rules.
Mm-hmm.
I never said I don't eat meat. I don't want meat. I just said I can't have it, and then I felt trying to think of the right word, restricted, I guess, or
deprived.
Deprived. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. Is that's one thing I like to tell people is never to say like I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't have this, because it takes all this control away from you, and it also, like you said, it can lead to these feelings of deprivation or restriction. And so what I like to say is I can have anything. You can have anything. You're choosing not to. And it's just such a powerful shift. It's the same result, but it's a different thing. Cause that's how I felt. Is I remember I would just be so upset. I would go out to eat or I'd go to a party or something. I'd be like, I can't have anything here. This sucks. And then I was like, wait, actually I could. I'm not allergic, but this is my choice, and this is the rule I made, and I know where I'm standing on this line, and I'm not crossing it, and I just felt really empowered.
And I think it helps. It helped me, I think, in some social situations, how come you can't have this? Oh, I don't want it. And it's like, they didn't really ask any more questions about that. Oh, you don't want it? Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. I never thought of that.
They didn't question me going, yes, you can have this if you want it. And then it's like, no, I can't have it. I can't have it. Instead of, no, I just don't want it. I don't want this and I don't want that and I don't want this. And it was like, oh, okay. They never really, I guess you would say, questioned me anymore about it. It just took it as is.
Yeah, I love that. I can't believe I never thought of this before. I think you just like rocked my world and changed advice I'm going to give people. The power of saying like, I just don't want it. Because it kind of powers them down. There's no more trying to convince you or peer pressure you or challenge you. It's just like, no, I just don't want it.
Right, exactly. If somebody asked you if you wanted a drink of, you want a beer and you said no, I mean, they're not going to try to force a beer on you anymore.
Sure. I read somewhere in this study it was really good for you. But I don't want it. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things that happened to me is I had this family member who was just coming at me like, really, just a bite? Why don't you just have a bite? Just try it. It's not going to kill you. Like, they were just coming, and I should have said, I don't want it. This is where I went wrong. But anyway, I didn't do that because I didn't have this insight back then. And they just kept saying, like, try it, taste it. And finally, I was like, why is it so important to you that I taste this thing? Genuinely was like, why are you following me around and you keep bugging me? And my family member just like didn't know what to do. Like they just like powered down because they were like, and then they went away. And it was maybe not my most diplomatic moment, but I was just like, why? Why are you trying to convince me to taste this thing? Clearly I should have just said I don't want it, because I just kept being polite, like, oh, I'm good, no thanks, I'm good, I'm all set. I don't want it. Mind-blowing. What other pearls of wisdom do you have in there, in that head?
Let's see. A lot of people question me because I don't put milk. I don't drink milk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
After I went vegan the first time, I realized how bad it really upsets my stomach and stuff, and how my body just tolerated it because I just drank it every day.
So
I really stay away from milk, and that's why I probably stay away from more dairy, even though I'll indulge on it and deal with it. But I just tell them I'm allergic to it, and they kind of leave me alone about it. It's like, oh, I'm allergic to milk, that's why I don't drink it anymore. It's partly true, but
Yeah, the allergy thing always works too. I mean, there's a limit because they'll believe you're allergic to milk because that's, a common allergy. But if you're like, oh, I'm allergic to, bell peppers, they're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure you are. You're not allergic to ham. What are you saying? You're not allergic. But allergies is always a good point too. And that's interesting that you brought up about the dairy, because that's another thing I find that's true with a lot of people when they transition is – So like, I don't get it. I ate dairy. I drank glasses of milk twice a day every day of my life. And now, like, after not having it for a few months, I had it and my stomach hurts. Like, what happened? Like, how did I suddenly become allergic? And I'm like, well, I think you just forced it on yourself so long and your body was probably dealing with so many things that it just couldn't, like, let you know. It couldn't communicate, hey, this is bad, because it was too busy going, holy garbage, what do we do? Emergency signal. But, you know, when you start eliminating stuff and you bring them back in, your body's like, hey, now, this isn't cool. I don't want this. Don't feed this to me.
Yeah, I got awful stomach aches after all that. It was,
Is that when, like, did you just, like, drink some milk and your stomach was like, heck no? Or, like, was it, like, cheese? What made you realize that dairy was no longer compatible?
It's cold cereal. I have an addiction to cold cereal sometimes. I could eat two or three bowls of cold cereal.
I just talked about this on a previous podcast about my love of cold cereal. Like, I liked it more than ice cream. And I would have it often at night, like after dinner. And I would go back and refill it like 2 and 3 and 4 times. And my mom used to brag when I was a kid about how I was such a good kid and I ate so much cereal for her.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I like it at night for some odd reason instead of ice cream. I'm not a big ice cream fan.
I'm not a big ice cream person either. But the crunchy cereal and the cold milk, oh my God, I was totally into that. Still am.
I just kind of eat healthier cereals. I don't know how much healthier, but, you know, I just stay away from the Fruity Pebbles and stuff and try to eat the, you know.
Yeah. Anything I think is probably a step up from my love of Fruity Pebbles and Lucky Charms. I think anything is probably healthier than that. But no, that's totally true. I mean, you can find stuff that's like brown rice or bran or whatever, and it's minimally sweetened, so there's definitely some good choices. And you can use like almond milk or soy milk or something, and then it, can...
I love Rip's Big Bowl.
Which one? Oh, Rip's Big Bowl? Oh my God, that's so good.
I mean, that I still eat that. I mean, it's a good cereal. I don't know why. Maybe it's just all the fruit on it, you know. But that's probably one of my favorite cold cereals I still eat.
Yeah, it's really good. And that's true. There are healthy choices. There really are. And especially if you have access to a Whole Foods, which being in a smaller town, you might not have one. But being near the Bay Area, there's, I'm sure, no shortage of health food stores there.
Right. I mean, the Bay Area is so large. I mean, you know, it's, we have a lot of traffic. I mean, not compared to LA, but.
LA, but I really think Atlanta wins. Everyone says Los Angeles, but I've been to Atlanta. I think they win. They beat us, I think. Or maybe used to it.
There's lots of health stores around that are close within 30 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, and this, I mean, it's been amazing. Like, I spent part of the year in a really small town, and I have been, and the only thing there is, like, a Walmart. Like, there's nothing else. And I don't love Walmart particularly, but it's the only option. And I've even started to find, like, healthy options there. I mean, they have, like, kale and quinoa now. I'm like, the world is really starting to change. So that's really nice.
You know, when you start seeing the fast food change, you know, that's a huge step sometimes when you see the vegetable choices at, you know, Taco Bell or Wendy's or, you know.
Yeah, I think we're going to start seeing more of them too. My mom's on her way to Vermont right now, and she stopped at like some random like road stop. Like it was just like a random like kind of truck stop, road stop off the highway. And they had a hummus sandwich. She like sent me a picture. She's like, look, they offer a hummus vegetable sandwich. And the funny part is they also listed all of the calories. Like it was a whole menu. And of course, like the hummus sandwich was the best one of the group. And it was really reasonable. It was like 320 calories for this sandwich. And I was like, the world is changing. Like, she's in Vermont. But, it's really neat to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's... my girlfriend, you know, she's always been able to find something when we go out to eat, you know, that's always been to her standards. Except for lately, it's been really hard with the plant-based stuff sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always, I know, it's always easier to be vegan as opposed to, like, plant perfect, but, you know, you have to do the best you can in the situation you're in. I mean, I had a bagel, hummus, and veggies today because I had a working lunch. It's not the worst thing, but wasn't the best either, but it was tasty.
Right.
Yeah. Any other, you keep giving all these good insights. I'm gonna keep hitting you up till you run out. Come on, another one. 3 for 3.
Let's see. Still thinking. I don't know.
How do you explain it to your kids? Like, I mean, I know that their mom is not on board, like, even a little bit. And so they're eating kind of the way you did when you grew up. But, like, how do you kind of, like, talk to them? Do you talk to them about, like, why, you know, hey, this is why we're eating this plant-based meal that doesn't have meat and cheese on it?
My son, he'll be 9 next month. And so he kept asking questions, and we just sat him down and watched Forks Over Knives. I'm not sure how much he got about it, but he, you know.
Yeah, that's a good movie. It's a little hard, I think, for kids to understand, but at least it's not super, I don't think it's super graphic, so it is a good, but it is a little heavy.
Well, it helped with the graph from the front, you know, about, you know, the 1950s and the 70s, and now about the sugar and amount of food we eat and stuff. But, you know, we just tried to explain to them it's just a healthier choice is the way that we're trying to do things here, and we just stand by it. I mean, yeah. I do believe in it 100%. I mean, so I'm trying to give my kids the better meals, the better, way better food than I ever got when I was a kid.
Yeah, I know.
I guess I'm hoping their taste will change enough that when they get older, they'll realize it and they're not stuck like I was in that loop with the loving sugar, salt, and sweets.
I know. That's what I think all the time. I mean, I grew up on like Lunchables and Shake and Bake and Stouffer's mac and cheese and all these things. And so for me, it just like trying to even eat a vegetable, you know, it was so hard. Like just, I just grew up without those tastes, when I walked into the produce section, I knew things, like I was like, oh, that's an apple or whatever, but there were so many things, like I had no idea what they were or even how to use them, and I'm still learning, I mean, because there's some kind of funky stuff here in LA sometimes, I'm like, what is that? It looks like a space creature, I mean, it's clearly a root vegetable, but I barely knew how to boil water to make pasta when I went plant-based, I went vegan and then I went plant-based. And that's like mind blowing to me. I'm like, oh, there was such a big learning curve. I didn't know anything. And I have friends who, like, the only time they ever had a vegetable other than like French fries and tater tots, the only time they had vegetables was when their mother put cheese whiz on broccoli. And I'm just like, and I see them like just struggle to like not have those tastes, like to get past those addictive flavors to all that sugar and that fat. And they're just like, but it's just so boring. I'm like, I swear your tongue will heal and your taste will change. But then like I see kids who grew up on healthy food and they're just, you know, plowing through the tofu and kale. And I'm like, that would not have been me.
Yeah, I will say that that's something. It took a while to heal, but when I went, the 6 months. But that's something that you're right. It was a month later, maybe 6 weeks later, and it was like I enjoyed everything I ate. Even though if I did it now, it would be really bland. You know, I still catch myself with a salt shaker, putting it on some of the meal plans, you know, which is not looking. But it's if you just give it time, your tastes do change. And you really enjoy all the vegetables, and you really do enjoy a lot of the good things that you didn't know.
Yeah, it's true. You do have to give it time. I remember there were so many things that I thought were so super bland or had absolutely no taste when I started, and now they're extremely flavorful to me. Like, I didn't think rice had a flavor at all. I was like, rice? That doesn't have a flavor. It tastes like cardboard. And now I'm like, oh, brown rice is really kind of nutty, and it can be sweet, you know, depending on what kind it is. And all kinds of vegetables I thought were bland and flavorless. I still like a little salt from time to time. But it's funny because I lived on an island for a year and we didn't really have salt. Like, I wasn't cooking with it and I just wasn't doing much with it. And then when I came back to the United States, I was super excited to go to my favorite restaurant and get my favorite meal, and it was too salty. And that's when I was like, wow, my tastes really changed. And like my friends who had lived in America the whole time, they hadn't gone to the island with me, they were eating it off my plate and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about, it tastes fine to me. And I'm like, no, really, it's So salty.
Yeah, I mean, I did experience that a couple of times, you know, where I'd actually say something was too salty. And I mean, that's never, ever came out of my vocabulary anytime when I was growing up.
Yeah, I was always leaning more towards the salty. Like, I mean, I liked sweets, but it was definitely like the potato chips and the pretzels were definitely more my jam. I think when I was super like, oh yeah, yummy. But now it's like dried fruit is my weakness. I need to stay away from the dehydrated mango. So yeah. Yeah. So can I make you adopt a rule?
Sure.
What's your new rule gonna be?
My new rule gonna be?
In the spirit of progress, right now, on the spot, you're gonna make a rule. And hey, maybe everyone that's listening, they can adopt it with you.
Let's see.
A medium one.
Medium one. Just trying to think. You know what? I could. I'll stop putting salt on the meal plans.
Hey, that actually, that is, like you said, that is a very good medium rule for you.
You know, I mean, I don't do it. Yeah, I probably do it all the time, but you know, that's probably, you know, the reason why we do the meal plans. You know, I keep trying to tell myself the reason why we do the meal plans is so at least I'm doing, you know, something plant based, and then when I eat lunch and stuff, and you know, it's, I mean, I do go eat out, but I mean, yeah, I'm gonna go eat out a big supersized burrito or something that's, you know, got sour cream in it, but, you know. Yeah, I guess my new rule is that I won't put salt on the meal plans.
There you go. Yay, rule of the day, rule of the week, rule of the month. Soon it will be rule of the life. But thank you so much for coming on and being so honest about, you know, just everything, struggles, and you had such good, I really am just still blown away by the power of saying, I don't want it. This is really changing my life. I hope it changes everyone that's listening's life. But any last bits of wisdom you might have for us since you've had so much? It's okay. I've already tapped you pretty hard, like with three. So
I guess the only other thing I would say is the reason why I probably follow you more than anybody else is the profession, I can't remember your saying.
Oh, progress, not perfection.
Yes, thank you.
It's a good mantra, progress. I love it. I mean, that's all, it's a journey, man. Progress, progress, progress. All progress counts, every step forward. You know, it's not a step back, right?
Yep.
And I liked what you said earlier, too, about not keeping temptation in the house. I think that is so important. That's such a big thing. If it's not there, if it is there, it's going to call you. So sometimes just not even bringing it in and just making the food, you know, that's the first step.
Right, because we all have bad days, and those bad days, man, those will hurt you more than anything.
I love your honesty. I love your, like, yeah, I'm not there yet.
You know, I really did enjoy it. You know, I do have other, you know, like, I was working out at the time for some, I don't know what it is. I can't get my mind around it. Maybe it's a guy thing. I don't know yet. It's just when you're working out, you always want to take care of your body. Like, why am I going to the gym? And then feed it a bunch of crap.
That's true. Yeah. I've seen that with both men and women, but you're right. It's definitely a little bit stronger with guys. I've noticed that they seem to, when they're like exercising or something, they're just a little bit more motivated to make better choices.
Right. And that was mine. But you know, when I stopped working out and this and that, you know, it's like too busy with life. You just kind of, you know.
Yeah, I saw that with my husband. Like, when he was training for a marathon, he wasn't really ever drinking beer. And, I mean, he wasn't a big beer drinker before, but, like, oh, you know, it's Friday, or I had a long, hard day, let me kick back, watch TV, drink a beer, or, like, oh, I'm going out to dinner, let me get a beer. But when he was running a marathon, he just, like, wasn't doing that. Like, he wasn't buying beer, and I asked him the one time, he's like, oh, no, I'm not drinking, I just, I'm not going to run so good tomorrow if I drink that.
I actually was the same way. My alcohol content actually really went down when I started working out, and that's, you know, that's a huge thing too.
Yeah, sometimes I think with the ladies, sometimes they use exercise to like reward themselves, like, oh, I worked out super hard so I can totally have this chocolate chip cookie. But I do think some women though are like that in that same way, like, oh, because you're it's one good thing, you know, breeds more good things. It's sort of like a cycle, and it goes both ways. You can spiral out, as you said, you can spiral down, but you can also spiral up. But so, yeah, I go to yoga every day, and I swear it helps me make better choices, because I'm like, well, I got up this morning and I did this good thing for myself, so no, I'm not gonna go get the Dole Whip.
Right, and that's, you know, Mandy's the same way. She's, you know, been doing yoga for the last 2-3 months when she went plant-based, and I could always tell when she's kind of like having an off week, and I'm like, did you go to yoga today? Did you go to yoga this week? You know, it's like, you need to go to yoga.
You sound just like my husband. Have you been to class? Do you need class? Let me look on my phone to see when the next class is.
Exactly. I did that. Yeah, that's, yeah, pretty much. That was the same thing.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know, or I have a memorization in my head sometimes, you know. I am really good about remembering things. And I go, oh, it's, you know, today's Tuesday, so you got a class at, you know, 6:30 and 7, don't you?
But I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, I appreciate it too. Thanks for having me. I mean, it was, I was a little scared being that I was like, yeah, I was there once and then I fell off and I haven't gone back yet.
But you know, those actually help people the most, because that happens to so many people and they feel alone and they feel so much shame, and hearing that other people, it's happened to them, it makes them feel better and it kind of becomes inspiring, like, okay, we're all going to get back to where we want to go.
Right.
And like, exactly. I hear all the time, oh, I love hearing these stories about people who lost 100 pounds, but I can't even get to lose 5. And it's like, we love these big, grand stories, but sometimes we need to hear, like, progress along the way to have something that we more, you know, relate to, because not everyone's at the finish line. So.
Right. Well, the story on that was, I had a friend that couldn't lose the 10 pounds he wanted to. And, I mean, he worked out every other day. He watched his weight and everything. And so me and him at work decided to dissect his diet. Mm. And it came to him, and it was like, he was like, well, you know, I eat at night for a snack, I eat nuts. I go, well, dude, how many nuts are you eating? And he's like, you know, I just go grab a handful and then this, and then I go grab, you know, he goes, I just eat them throughout the night. Well, how many handfuls? You know, and that's what it was. He was probably grabbing 3 or 4 handfuls every night, which probably accumulated to, you know, 500 calories real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he's dropped the nuts, he actually lost his 10 pounds he's been wanting.
That's amazing. And it can be those little things like, okay, I'm not going to have a handful of nuts after dinner.
Right. You know, I mean, sometimes it's that sensitive, so.
Yeah, it's that simple. I had a member recently, and she always, after dinner, she had like a little piece of chocolate, not like a chocolate bar, but like just like a square, you know how the chocolate bars come in like little squares? Yeah. And she would have like 1 to 2 squares, and she's just like, I don't understand why, like, I'm not losing any more weight. I mean, I've even been working out more or whatever. And then she stopped eating these little chocolate squares, and it worked. And I still can't figure it out, because I'm like, those things can't be more than 35 calories. And even if she was like fibbing and she was really eating 3 of them, it's still only like 150. But I was like, what? But the littlest thing sometimes is all it takes.
And maybe your body's reacting to an ingredient in it that it's, you know.
Yeah, and it also really helped. She was having like some like sleep inconsistencies. Like some nights she just couldn't sleep at all or whatever, and that went away too. And I was like, well, maybe it was the caffeine in the chocolate. I don't know, but it's so funny. I mean, it was this little teeny chocolate bar, but it's weird.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's little hidden things. So it's nice of you to help your buddy.
Oh yeah, it felt, you know, good when he finally nailed it, you know, and it was, you know, but, you know, that's just little things when you start really paying attention to your diet, you know, and that, you know, even when you're doing everything right, you could still be doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Mike. If you want to learn more about the meal plans that we've been talking about, you can visit getmealplans.com. I'm Lindsay Nixon. This was Mike, and thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.